NHL playoffs started today. Which would you trust more, the Denver Nuggets bench or the Colorado Avalanche goaltending? I want to throw this out to the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. The fellas behind the glass are surveying your responses, and we'll share some of those here in just a minute. The playoffs don't start today, Phil, but damn it, it's close.
It's close.
17 days from now, both NHL and NBA playoffs, from my understanding and looking at each website, they're starting on the same day.
Yeah.
They're starting on the 20th of this month. It is already the 3rd. That leaves a difference of 17 days from right now. It's all on the line. Who would you trust more, the Denver Nuggets bench and the compilation of Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Justin Holiday, Reggie Jackson, ideally because Jamal is back?
Yep.
Or do you trust what we're seeing from Alexander Georgiev and Justas Annunen?
Oof. That's a tough one, Zach. This is a tough one because both of them are not doing that great. But if I had to pick one, it's going to have to go with the Denver Nuggets bench. Here's why. They're not going to have to play a lot. They're going to play, you know, what you think is that? 8-10 minutes
a
night?
Yeah, I put it right there.
You know, we know that they're going to have to show up. But you're only playing 8-10 minutes a night. The stars are on the floor majority of the time. Georgiev is going to have to play the whole entire game. And not just one game, the whole entire series. And if they win the next series, and if he's not doing well, and we have to replace him with Annunen, and he's not doing well, what are we going to do? We have to go right back to Georgiev. I'm taking my chances with the bench with the Denver Nuggets because they're not going to be on the court as much as Georgiev is going to be on that ice.
I think that's a great answer. I didn't know you had it in you.
Yeah, Bruce Lee glasses.
It's kicking
it's
in.
It's paying off.
No, I really like that. I really like that. It's a function of what you're asking each party to do.
Yeah.
Because even if it's, let's extend it to 12 minutes. 8 to 12 minutes a night, you're going to ask those bench players for the Nuggets to step up. And actually, you know what you're asking them to do?
Mm.
Just not get destroyed. Just not be fully underwater in the non-Jokic minutes. And if you could just tread water, if you could just hang tough, you didn't even have to win your minutes, just don't get killed, it's probably going to put the starters with the best player in the world in a really good position to do fantastic, yeah, to win games. And it's just, I like that you just reducing it down to, well, what are you asking each party to do? There's nowhere for Georgie to run.
Mm-mm.
It's 60 minutes. There's no like subbing in, subbing out goaltenders in the NHL playoffs. So it's like, yeah. Boys, you guys like that? Where are we at behind the glass?
Oh, boy. I think I tend to trust the Avalanche goaltending just a little bit more than I do the Nuggets bench.
Okay.
Because I think it's more about what Georgiev, let's see, we all assume it's going to be Georgiev in the playoffs.
Yes.
What he has in front of him. Now, I know that a lot of times you do not see the Avalanche defense locked down in their own end very well. But when they do decide they want to lock it down, they've shown the ability to do it. They've shown the ability that they can lock it down. I know that's not typically their style. They want to have, you know, be more offensive-minded defensemen with Makar and Taves and now Sean Walker, guys like that, Sammy Girard. They want to be more offensive-minded, but they have shown me the ability that when they want to lock it down, they can. When it comes to the Nuggets bench, yeah, we've seen flashes from Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, even every once in a blue moon, Zeke Nagy, even though I don't think he's going to play in the playoffs at all.
Let's leave him out of that.
I know. That's,
What about Reggie in a bench role? Like, you know, he's playing right now, yeah, out of position, not a position on the basketball court. He's playing up a level. Maybe him back in his natural role. So you're going with, you have more trust in the Avalanche goaltender situation.
I think I do. Yeah, okay. Even though, like we talked about yesterday, we want to at least see Georgiev steal a game at some point. But I have more faith in the Avalanche goaltending situation than I do the Nuggets bench, but it's pretty close for me, honestly. It's not like a wide range where I'm like, I wholeheartedly trust in the Avalanche goaltending. I have a little bit more faith than I do the Nuggets bench.
Okay, what do you have, if the playoffs started today, what do you have more faith in, the Denver Nuggets bench or the Colorado Avalanche goaltending situation? Kamaje Granderson behind the glass, what do you got?
Give me the Nuggets bench. I think Malone has done a great job this season drilling into his bench's head, win the quarter, win the matchup, win the game. And those guys don't need to be great all at once. You just need one or two guys who are going to go all out at winning their matchup, whether that's 6 to 8 points, couple of steals. You're only going to play 8 to 10 minutes in the playoffs anyway. Can you give everything you've got for 8 to 10 minutes? Don't pick up stupid fouls, right? And then you got to also make sure that the starters can trust you, whichever two starters Malone will leave in there with those guys. So that's going to be super important. I think the Nuggets understand what's at stake. They understand that people kind of believe. Some still doubt. Some wonder what would a bench do. Malone has done a great, great job of at least instilling confidence in them to where they understand that if I win my matchup at the bare minimum, I give the Nuggets the best chance to win the game if I win my matchup.
I think I'll go back to what I said a couple minutes ago. I don't even think, and that'd be great if they're winning their matchup like KJ said, but it's just not losing it.
Yeah.
It's literally just not losing it. And here's why. If I have a prediction here heading into the playoffs, I don't think this bench is going to be as much as an issue as it has been in the regular season.
Mm.
Because, and my thought is, in addition to your reasoning why you have more faith in the Nuggets bench as opposed to the Avs goaltending, is because what you're asking them to do in the limited amount of minutes. That's, I think, is the best point here with this dynamic so far for me personally. But when you're asking them to play such a limited role, you, like, for Peyton Watson, the reason that he is in this position is because he is an awesome defender. With Christian Brown, he'll make shots from time to time, there's no doubt, and he'll finish in transition and stuff like that. You saw him cutting on time last night, and it, you know, opens up some opportunities for him. But he's a really good defender.
Mm.
And I think that when the season is on the line and you're going to ask these guys to play 10 to 12 minutes, the focus narrows. You're not going to be out there like exploring your game in the 10 to 12 minutes that you're asked. You have a definitive job title, and that is don't lose these minutes. And the number one way for that to happen is actually leaning on both of the hallmarks of their game. I mean, and I'm specifically talking about Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, because I think that's two of the three guys that are going to play every single night off the bench. And because the focus will narrow, there won't be exploratory time in the playoffs. And I think that because of that, their strong suit, I would not be surprised if this bench, we come in here a lot of times, it's like, not only did the Nuggets bench not lose the minutes, they were a part of the reason that the Nuggets won. And I think that's going to happen every single playoff game? No, but it would not shock me if every other game we're coming in here talking about, damn, the bench played a significant role in the win, not a significant role in the loss.
Well said, Zach. Well said. I like it. I'm like you. I think that, and I'm one to kind of overreact to something like the bench, but I think that our bench for the Denver Nuggets is going to do some good things, because like you said, they're there to do one thing. Peyton Watson, play great defense. Christian Brown, play really, really good defense and take really smart shots. Reggie Jackson, he's been there, right? He's a veteran. Do what you have to do, contribute the ball, make some shots when you need to.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's going to be down to those starting five that are going to be in the majority of the game.
Yeah.
Georgiev, he's going to have a tall task, especially if the defensemen don't get their act together when the playoffs start and Georgiev's left on the island sliding back and forth. It's not all on him.
No, and there's nowhere for him to run.
No.
There's nowhere for him to run.
Maybe throw a couple pucks into the stands. Maybe the jockstrap comes off somebody into somebody's hot dog.
He lost his head this past. He lost. he got caught up emotionally, and that definitely can't happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, get frustrated, man.
That's blood in the water. You cannot be losing your head in the playoffs.
I think he was more frustrated with his teammates. to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he was tired of being left to dry.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of those that are like, dude.
Yeah.
That phrase, leave me out to dry. What's the text line saying here?
Yeah, guys, from the RamosLaw.com text line. I'm trying to kind of go through this, and we got a ton of responses on this. I'm trying to keep up with it. Just, you know, somebody picking ass, somebody picking Nuggets. And right now it's about 55% picking the Avalanche goaltending that they trust.
Okay. That they trust more.
They trust more than the Nuggets bench.
Okay, Georgiev?
But a lot of it, I think a lot of them are kind of agreeing. I mean, Ryan in Denver says, I trust the goaltending of the Nuggets bench because you only rely on one person instead of three to four guys. Although, it's not necessarily true because you are relying kind of on the guys in front of you
right.
if you're the goaltender.
Right,
so.
Right. I mean, you know where Georgie's save percentage ranks in the NHL? In a league of 30?
Okay, 30. Can I guess? I don't know.
I said 30. 32 teams.
32
in
teams?
In the NHL, yeah.
Probably, I'm going to say 19.
28th. Yes.
Ooh.
In a league of 32. And that's the guy.
I don't think our listeners knew that.
So just to put it on our radar, reasonable minds can disagree, but that's what makes it a relevant question here. With 17 days before the playoffs start for both leagues. All right. Are we also counting down the days for how many are left for one of the most prominent figures in Colorado sports? Details next. Do I have another clue that my prediction of Deion Sanders is a goner after year number two up in Boulder? Do I have another clue to my theory?
I'm glad you said to you.
Because we disagree on this.
No, we do. We do disagree on this one.
And I'll say this. When I say Deion leaving after 2 years, that's not like to paint some negative picture that like he's not fulfilling his obligation or he's bailing or anything like that.
He's not getting fired.
No.
Nothing like that.
It's literally just my expectation because we've never seen him coach a team that didn't have his children on it. And that would be the first time. And if I'm wrong about this, no joke, I'm going to be a happy camper because this job got more fun when Deion Sanders pulled into town.
Mm.
And I am hoping it lasts as long as possible because either good or bad, Phil, it's a story.
No, it really is. Come on, Zach. How many people could say Rick Ross was here in Boulder?
Right.
How many people could say Lil Wayne during a game, having a concert during the game before the CSU game? Like, who could say that's happening at their school?
It was The Rock.
The Shadur Sanders.
Do the Shadur.
The Rock was here.
The Rock was there. Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp. I mean, it was crazy.
Kawhi Leonard was here.
Kawhi was here. Remember there was a rumor that LeBron was going to show up?
Yes.
Or it was like Jay-Z.
No, it was LeBron. Maybe Jay-Z.
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't think those guys ever came.
I don't think so. If they did,
You
know, they were up in a box.
But it was star-studded. It was truly star-studded. And even though this year number two may not be to that level of the newness and everyone wanting a piece of it, it's still going to be wildly interesting. So I'm rooting for your side of the argument. I just don't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, you've been on the same case for ages.
And my new clue, and I'm sure you guys have seen or heard, but Deion Sanders' daughter, who plays for the CU women's basketball team, is it Shalami? Shalami Sanders? She is entering the transfer portal. All right? And excuse me if I didn't nail her name. But she doesn't play. I don't hear her name.
No, for sure.
Last time I saw her was on a game day promotion of game number one when they were advertising their game against LSU.
Yes.
They're like, wait,
You're not lying. You are not lying. She was on the cover. I'm like, uh-oh. This cannot be going well in that locker room.
Right.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Yes, and you called it when it happened.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, I know I would feel some type of way, and I'm not big into the, like, social media thing where I want to be on the poster, but you have some star players that are going to go to the WNBA, and this is probably their last year, against LSU, and you put that young girl on the cover because of Coach Prime?
Yeah, when she doesn't play.
No.
And the team that was coming back was just in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, okay, that was what it was. And I'm sure there's some reason behind the scenes that we don't understand. But it's Coach Prime's daughter, so okay. But she's entering the transfer portal. And I just asked myself a simple question. Why did she come to Colorado?
Mm.
Answer's pretty clear for me. I mean, dad was here.
Yeah, dad, brothers.
I believe that she's transferring because when her season is getting started next winter, her dad and Shador and Shiloh will not be on campus anymore. That's my belief. I think that she, and I'm totally speculating.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm guessing, I'm speculating, conspiracy theory, all that stuff. But it's another detail for me that could lead to, hey, this is it for Coach Prime in Boulder.
Yeah, I mean, Zach, look, that was a cute speculation.
Mm.
I like it. Coach Prime is going to be back for another year. I think for many different reasons, okay? But I think it's because he wants to see what he has in this team. If he wins this year, which I expect him to win, we all expect him to win this year, he wants to see it through for at least that last year. Whether it's because he knows that he's made a deal with Rick George and he's willing to stay for 3 years, whether it's because he promised a lot of these young men that are here
sure.
because of Coach Prime that he's going to see it through with them. And everybody knows Coach Prime is about Coach Prime. And if he has a chance to be the star of the show because he won 8 to 10 games here and he's getting more people to come, why not stay for another year? It's not going to hurt you. Your son's not going anywhere. He's going to be in the NFL.
Right.
Your time to be this coach is right now. And if it is limited, you're going to want to make the best of it, the most of it, before you decide to leave. All right. I just think for his daughter is, I'm not going to play in the Power Five. I'm not going to touch the court.
Right.
You guys are going to be gone at some point. I don't have my brothers here anymore. All right. So I'm going to go somewhere, maybe a smaller college, maybe a smaller D1, D2, D3, wherever the case may be.
Yep.
Which where I can play.
Yeah, she needs to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where I can play and I can enjoy my college career of playing some basketball before it's done.
Yeah. I can't give any real pushback because my side is not based on anything that's like known.
Yeah.
It's me forecasting and speculating because what you're
and I'm speculating. I'm speculating.
Yeah, right. But we want to know, like, is this ride gonna be over after 2 years? Does it end with Shador and Shiloh? And but you're right. I mean
how would that look though? For Coach Prime, like just as a person, like I use this platform just for my sons.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing that though. I see him being like, okay, like I'm gonna at least I use this platform, but I'm also gonna be a little bit more discreet with it. Another year's not gonna hurt him.
Well, it may not, and maybe he does come back for year number three. But how would it look? You know, I think the only way it looks bad is if they like they kind of fall on their face and they don't legitimately improve. Say they go from 4 wins to 5 wins,
yeah.
And then he leaves. You know, I'll look at it. But even Phil, let's just say even that happens. The CU program was in such a bad spot. We didn't talk about CU football.
No.
Like at all.
No, this is the first time I've ever seen CU like this, even when I was playing.
Yeah, and you guys had a great team that went to the Pac-12 championship.
But it's not taking the icing on this cake when it comes to the attention, the players that they're getting. I'm just imagining if we would have had some of those players when we were playing, we probably would have, we ended up being ranked number 8 that year at the end of the year. We probably would have been ranked number 4 or 5 because
sure,
of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's fascinating. We don't know what's next in this chapter. We don't know what's next after this next chapter, this chapter 2 of the Coach Prime and Boulder story. All right, we'll shift gears here. What would the Rockies have to do to be the literal worst Denver sports team of all time? We have the numbers, and we'll fill you in coming up next. What would the Colorado Rockies have to do to be the worst Denver sports team of all time? We have the numbers. All right, we have the numbers. We gave them to you earlier in the show, and I absolutely butchered them. Okay, I'm just gonna say it.
Oh, we know.
I just
told him to keep going along with it. Zach thinks he knows everything. He's so smart. He needs to take the Bruce Lee class.
Well, there's some people in this business, a lot of them will tell you, don't acknowledge it, just move forward. Don't acknowledge it. And I'm just like, I just find that hard. Like, if you screw up, you say you screwed up.
You do it a lot. Like, you have always said, you know what?
I'm going to
take responsibility. Yeah, own it, man. That's what I like about you. I admire that about you. Well, I'm not doing that.
The Rockies, man. Let's just talk about the Rockies here for just a second. I mean, this is, Phil, we knew they were going to be bad. Everyone anticipated them being bad. And somehow, some way, through the first six games of the season, they are going above and beyond. They are historically bad.
They're trying to show us how bad they are.
They lost to the Cubs yesterday by a nose, 12-2. All right. That was on the heels of losing the day before, 5-0. They have been outscored in their last three games alone, 22-3. 22-3. The Rockies have a negative 33 run differential after just six games. It's worst in Major League Baseball, but it's also tied for the sixth worst at this point of the season for any team going back to 1901. It's wild.
This is sick. It's not good. And you know what's the crazy part about it is I still find myself upset about what's going on, even though we all know that they weren't supposed to be good this year. I still find it upset watching this team and how they go out there. And I feel like we're talking about a whole entire year, Zach. This has only been like five games.
Phil, they haven't played a home game yet.
Yeah, we're supposed to be there.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Well, is anybody else going to be there?
They will be. I just don't know if they'll be there the next day. Like Lodo is going to be absolutely slammed. And you can join us for our home opener party live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. Stoke and Josh are going to be hanging out there, walking up the first pitch, and then we're going to rock with you all the way till 6 p.m. So if you have a ticket, make sure you stop by before or after the game. If you don't have a ticket, come hang out with us. It's going to be an absolute hoot. All right, so come through. But the product right now is it's at an all-time low. I mean, it's not just a bad product, Phil. Last night, it was 10-0. The Rockies hit a two-run home run. It was Michael Toglia. He had a two-run blast at like the top of the seventh inning. Prior to that, they went 19 straight scoreless innings. 19 straight scoreless innings. They hit a two-run shot. Phil, they went full celly.
What?
They went full celebration.
Ain't no way.
They had a helmet and goggles that, like, dude was going up and down, like, the dugout.
The audacity.
They went from 10-0. They cut it 10-2 and had a planned celebration.
You cut those players. You cut them. I don't care if they're your best players. You're celebrating while you're getting your butt whooped.
Yes.
Knowing that you're not going to win the game.
It was wild to see.
They just wanted a selfie. Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's such a bad look. It's really embarrassing. Really embarrassing. Quick snapshot. After six games, a supposed bright spot, left fielder Nolan Jones, he's hitting .087 and has struck out 11 times. Second baseman Brandon Rodgers hitting .120, seven strikeouts. The second highest paid player on this team is Kyle Freeland. He's making like $15 million a season. He's pitched 5 2/3 innings and has allowed 17 runs on 19 hits. Less than six innings. The ERA, I'm not even going to share it on the air because I feel like it's like offensive. It's like offensive to Kyle. And then the highest paid player on the team is making $28 million this season, and that's Chris Bryant. He does not have a single hit through six games. He is 0-16.
Yeah, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This might be worse than Russell Wilson's deal, Zach. This might, and Russell didn't even get to start his deal.
Right.
But at least Russell helped win some games. This man can't even get a hit off. All right?
It's astonishing.
And he got hurt and wasn't even in baseball. It was him sleeping.
Yeah.
Having bad dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sick dreams, whatever the case may be.
Well, this is a sick dream. This is a nightmare.
This is a sick dream.
This is wild. This is historically bad. But it got me thinking, like, could these guys go on to be, like, the worst Denver sports team of all time? So I went back and looked at the worst Avalanche season, all right? And that was the 2016-17 season.
Yeah.
21 wins. They were 22-56-4. All right, 22-56-4. That was that registered 48 points on the season.
And that was before Bednar got there, right?
I think that was his first year.
Okay.
His first year. So that dude came from the muck and the mire to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Legendary. But that winning percentage is 268, all right? So they won about 26-27% of their games. Broncos' worst season in their NFL history since they went to 16-17 games, that's the sample I used. You got to go back to 2010 when they went 4-12. All right? That is a 250 winning percentage. All right? So they won 25% of their games. They lost 75% of them, right? You'd think that was easy math. I actually screwed that up in the first half of the show. That was the Hurricane Josh McDaniels' second year and his last year. Broncos were outscored by 127 points in 16 games. Worst season of all time. But that doesn't take the cake.
Nope.
It's the Denver Nuggets.
Ah.
Who in 1997, 1998, the Denver Nuggets, under the lone Bill Hanslick season, he was the coach, Bill Hanslick, he's on the broadcast now, the Nuggets went 11-71. 11-71.
Yeah, that has to be miserable. That has to be miserable, Zach.
That's a winning percentage of 1-3-4. So about 13% of the time they won. So I'm like, what do the Rockies have to do to get there?
All they have to do is continue to show up. All those players have to continue to put the pants on, put the ball cap on, and go out there, and we're going to beat that. That's a fact right now, Zach.
Dude,
show up.
The Nuggets that season started 2-38. They had a 23-game losing streak and a separate 16-game losing streak. 11-71. All right. So you know what the Rockies would have to do to match that? They would have to go 25 wins and 137 losses. 25 wins and 137 losses. And as bad as this club is, they will find a way to win 26 games.
Will they, though?
They will.
Like you said some earlier that just punched me in the face right now. This is the healthiest they're going to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys, this is the healthiest the Colorado Rockies are going to be. And we're talking about when they get a little bit more injured, that they're going to still win more than 25 games. I don't know, Zach.
Their over-under is 59.5. I made a very foolish decision. Very foolish, like among the most foolish.
Yeah.
To bet their over with a friend for $200. Now, he is offering me a cash out.
Oh.
All right. Now, he did the other night. I turned it down. It was $35. That if I just pay $35, I can get out of the bet.
Out of $200?
Yes. Yes.
You better take that bet.
Well, I did not. So let's just say it's 40. Fellas, should I? Because the thing is, I feel bad. They haven't even come home yet.
Don't listen to KJ.
They haven't even come home yet.
KJ had everybody saying and thinking that we were going to be red hot here in April.
He did not have everyone thinking that. That was a solo thought. That was a solo Kamaje thought.
Yeah, we all looked at him like, wait, what's in that cup of yours, man?
Yes. But no, seriously, do I cash out before they even play a home game? Because that feels like... But am I setting myself up for just failure and a larger loss? Take the cash out or wait till they come home and see if they can win a couple games?
Don't be prideful, man. Take that cash out right now. Go ahead and give them the 40.
Drew, take the cash out or wait till they at least play a home game?
They have a minus 33 run differential on the road. It's going to get worse at Coors Field. Take the cash out now and run, man.
Kamaje, take the cash out or stick to my guns and say, let's see them play in Denver first.
Well, first off, I mean, it's almost 5:00. No, I'm just kidding. And listen, you should ride this out, man. I think the Rockies, they always do something quirky. They have no business going on some weird winning streak throughout the season, and it's going to balance out. It's going to balance out.
It's going to balance out, right?
I promise.
Everything's fine. And you promise too? Okay.
I promise.
You're talking to a guy that said that the Rockies are going to be red hot in April.
Oh, no. How is it this bad?
We should ask the Robles Law text line and see what they think.
Yes, stick to my guns or cash out.
Stick to my guns.
I'll tell you, Stokely made the same bet. He cashed out after the fourth game.
Stoked is a smart man.
He cashed out for
$35. Stoke plays aggressive at times, but knows when to leave.
Yeah.
Zach, you always playing aggressive.
Yeah, Zach, they're already coming in on the RamosLaw.com text line. They're already saying cash out.
Cash out,
not,
right.
Not one person saying, nah, ride with it.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. All right. Last night, we saw a glimpse of the past, the present, and the future all rolled up into one night in Denver sports. That's coming up next. Get your phone out. We're going to give something away here. Ludacris and T-Pain will be at Cheyenne Frontier Days on Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. So listen to 104.3 The Fan with us. You got Schlereth and Evans and Stokely and Josh for your chance to win your pair of tickets. And we have a pair of tickets to give away to go see Luda at Cheyenne Frontier Days, July 25th. Caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043. Again, be caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043. Get it, 104.3 The Fan? And you're going to win yourself a pair of tickets to Cheyenne Frontier Days, July 25th. Best of luck to all of our callers. All right, Phil, last night, I said going to the break, we saw a glimpse of the past.
Yep.
A clear view of the present.
Yes, sir.
And a peek at the future.
Ooh.
All rolled up into one night in Denver sports. The past, Carmelo Anthony getting passed by Nikola Jokic for third all-time on the Nuggets scoring list.
All right.
The present, Nikola Jokic going for 42 points, 16 rebounds, 16 assists in a win, solidifying his MVP case.
My man is going to have 3 MVPs.
Incredible.
It really is.
Historic in every way. That's as many as Magic. It's as many as Bird. All right? Moses Malone. It's legendary. And then a peek at the future, it's Victor Wembanyama, the 7'4" Frenchman who has just turned 20 years old during the year. And he was wild. Almost put up a quadruple-double on a night where he struggled offensively. He did not play. He did not shoot the ball well. Found a way to get to 23 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and a whopping 9 blocks.
Just 9.
As a rookie.
Yeah. Man, that was fun to watch. Although the game was kind of sporadic and it wasn't good basketball on the Denver Nuggets part, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch Jokic. He seemed like he was having fun. It was fun to watch Wemby go out there and do some amazing things at the age of 20 years old. My man still has peach fuzz on his chin, and he hasn't grown into his body.
No.
And he's already doing some amazing things. He's 7'4". I mean, we're looking at a guy that here in 2-3 years, Zach, is going to be taking over the game.
Yeah, he's just got to stay healthy.
He does.
He's just got to stay healthy. But you think of some of the other, you know, just larger-than-life tall people in NBA history. Yao Ming was 7'6", George Mirishan, Bol Bol, actually, Bol Bol's light on his feet like Victor Wembanyama is.
No, he moves well to be so tall.
Yes, but Wemby is just, he's graceful.
He really is.
Like, he can glide. And I remember it was this time last year when everyone was like, there's just the number one pick. They were calling him the best prospect since LeBron James. And I remember being asked, like, hey, what do you expect from this kid out of the gate? I said, I have no idea offensively.
Yeah.
This is the greatest basketball league in the world, and he's a teenager. I have no idea. But I said, defensively, with that wingspan and that physical God-given body, with his smarts and how hard he plays on defense,
yeah,
he will be an immediate game changer. And in his first season, Phil, he's leading the entire league in blocks and is in the defensive player of the year conversation as a kid.
And I know some listeners are saying, look, he's 7'4". He should be leading with blocks. He's so tall. But you still have to go out there and you have to have to put in the work, right? It's not easy to block a shot, especially a NBA player. Like, they're tall, too. They're 6'6", and when they're jumping to shoot, they're up there.
Yeah.
But he's blocking shots. He's doing the small little details that it takes to be a great defender. Nobody wants to play defense in the NBA now, Zach. It just it's the truth. When you watch these games, it's 120 to 125. Like, nobody wants to put that work in. But Wemby, if he can continue to do that on top of continue to put together great work ethic on the offensive side as well, man, it's going to be scary to watch this young man develop.
Yeah, what does he look like in year four when he's 23?
Yeah, with help, with a supporting cast.
Right. Yeah, and it is like, it actually does remind me of LeBron first came in the league. It was like, wait, who are his teammates?
Yeah.
Like Ricky Date, like who?
I still don't know him.
Yeah, and these guys, and look, when you bottom out in an effort to get Victor Wembanyama, you're going to be left over with some pretty bad pieces.
Yeah.
And they need to rebuild that thing up. But if they can build this thing up, Wemby is going to be an MVP candidate if he can stay healthy. He is just too talented, and he is turning into a player that I think if you're an NBA fan, Nuggets fan or not, or otherwise, like, I think you got to go see this guy in person.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's an oddity. He's a freak in a great way. And he has poured himself into the game of basketball. He is not a casual basketball player. This is his life.
Yeah.
He's been preparing for the NBA since he was 15 years old, dude. Mm. And I think it's great for the game. And it looked like Jokic really enjoyed playing him.
Yeah, I think for Jokic, it's like, okay, this kid is going to be great in a couple of years. Let me try to figure out what I can do to beat him, because I know he's going to be a problem for me later on. He's young, and he's still going to be young. I'm getting a little bit older,
yeah.
So I have to work on my craft as well. They were having fun. I mean, the best part to describe that was when Wemby blocked the shot of Jokic. They went back, scored.
Yes.
Jokic comes all the way back down.
Yeah.
You know, people want to say he dunked on him.
A little challenge flag at that.
Now, Jokic barely dunks the ball.
Yeah.
Right?
He does that. But last night he had three dunks in the first quarter.
He did.
Because it looked like to me, and you know, I've joked around saying Jokic is basketball AI.
Yeah.
And I thought of that last night as I'm watching the game, because it looked like in real time he was downloading just how big Wemby is, gets his shot blocked a couple times, and it's like, oh, I have to, like, the space that I would create with my shoulder and then get a hook shot off, that's not going to work. He'll meet it at the apex. So it was funny watching him, like, pick his spots and use the rim as, you know, there was a particular possession where it might have been more natural to finish on the, Wemby's right on his back. It would have been more natural to finish right there on the strong side of the rim, but Wemby can come over the top. So he goes under the rim and uses the rim as a sort of, like, pick or, like, screen in the air to block the guy who's trying to block your shot.
Yeah.
But it was just so fun for me to watch that in real time. And I just don't think it's an accident that Jokic went out there and shot 32 times.
No.
That's unusual for Jokic to take 32 shots in a game.
What was he trying to do?
I felt like he took it personal, not in a way of, like, there's some sort of vendetta or beef, but it's like,
it's like an obstacle. Like, let me see if I can get over this obstacle.
Yeah, it's like, tonight my challenge is this kid who we've never seen anything like him, but I'm here for it, and I'm gonna do everything I can to have real success. And he goes and scores 42 points, and by the way, tied Carmelo Anthony, not just passed him on the all-time scoring list, but tied Melo for number of 40-point games in a Nuggets uniform as well.
Yes, he's doing some big time things, man. Jokic is the man. He's the man. I'm ready to watch it in the playoffs.
Can't wait.
Jamal, man.
Yeah. Jamal, what do you think about that? Again, ruled out. We didn't find that out until really the last segment of our show yesterday. Like,
I think we kind of have it in our head that we may not see Jamal before the playoffs start. That's kind of where my head is at right now. I think, and I said it yesterday, it's a little bit more serious than we want to put on. And we don't know what he's going through or what kind of, I don't want to say procedure, but whatever the case may be to help him out. Whether it's like draining his knee because he has some kind of knee issue with fluid, whatever is going on,
yeah.
I think it's a little bit more serious, man. That's why you're missing games.
And now it's like he hasn't played since the third week of March.
Yeah.
We're 17 days away from the playoffs starting. And Jamal is a notorious slow starter to seasons. That's why he hasn't been an all-star.
Yeah.
The best of his work is clearly all-star material, but he kind of eases into the season and plays himself into shape oftentimes. And it's like, man, I'm not saying like the guy can't run a suicide right now, but you haven't played since March 21st. There's only now six games left in the season. And game number one of the NBA playoffs is 17 days from now. and you're a notorious slow starter,
yeah,
the dynamics are adding up that's making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Scared? No. A little bit uncomfortable? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm uncomfortable too, Zach, because we've all agreed that if something goes wrong and he has a setback, Jamal has a setback, and he doesn't play in a playoff game or something like that, it's going to be hard to kind of replace someone like Jamal Murray, especially like bubble Jamal that we're expecting to see when playoffs hit. But I'm not going to sit here and hit the panic button just yet, but it's sitting right in front of me because we haven't seen Jamal, and I don't think we're going to see Jamal anytime soon.
Let's get crazy. Let's say the Nuggets match up with the Lakers in the first round.
Without Jamal?
Or we don't see Jamal until the playoffs start.
Okay.
Given that he's a notorious slow starter, that would make me feel uncomfortable. It would. Jamal Murray averaged 32 points a game last year in the Western Conference Finals against LA. If he wasn't there, is there a scenario where the Lakers could push Denver to the absolute limit? Yeah, of course that scenario exists. And and I'm not saying they would get beat four times in 2 weeks.
No.
Because I'd still bet on Denver. But could things get really uncomfortable? Yeah, they could.
I think so. But even having Jamal on the court, his presence alone, it helps everybody out. It eases everybody. It takes a lot of pressure off of Jokic because guess what? If you're going to let Jamal just sit there and shoot, he may not be the healthiest, but that man can still go out there and shoot. We see it all the time. Like, he's still out there shooting around.
Yep.
He's going to make some. So it forces you not to sit here and do something like the Phoenix Suns? Everybody kind of crashed down in the paint.
Yes.
Double team Jokic.
Yes.
It keeps people from doing that when you have Jamal Murray on the court.
Yeah. No, a full cosign there. Jokic.
Mm.
One more note before we shift gears here. ESPN did their straw poll. It's the final installment of the straw poll. Phil, Jokic got 85 of the 100 first place votes. He's going to gallop across the finish line like one of his Serbian horses with ease to his third MVP.
Oh, yeah, he has it in the bag. It's his. It's his. He doesn't have to play anymore. It's his.
This came out this morning. He's got such a lead over SGA. It's his, man. This is going to happen. And if McKinnon wins his, we've talked about it, it'll just be the second time ever that an NHL MVP, Hart Trophy winner, and the NBA MVP play in the same town in the same year, and only Wayne Gretzky and Magic Johnson have that title right now in LA in the late 80s. That story is coming to Denver, man. It's so cool. So cool. So special. It's happening.